Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we're continuing our studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Here's our teacher, Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University.
Lately in our studies of the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about discovering and using your spiritual gift. I've emphasized that this is an intensely practical subject, that it is an important subject for believers. Every Christian needs to be as fully useful to God and the body of Christ as he can possibly be. And there's no doubt that understanding what God's special empowering through His Spirit in your life is will help you to that end. I think it's important to say that there's little question that a person can be a believer, live his whole life dedicated and consecrated to God, never know exactly what his spiritual giftedness is, and still be mightily blessed of and used by God. But if someone does understand where he fits in the body of Christ and what his special empowering from the Lord is to serve, certainly that will encourage that Christian. Certainly it will help him in his setting of priorities, in the using of his energies in the best possible manner. Certainly that will help that Christian be a good steward for God. And who of us in the body of Christ don't want to be a good steward of the capacities God has given us? I think one of the first steps to take in understanding what our special empowering from the Lord is to serve, our spiritual giftedness is to simply know what the spiritual gifts are that we may possess presently in the body of Christ. In recent broadcasts, I've attempted to define those gifts, the communication gifts and the action gifts, and give you some kind of an understanding of what those capacities are so you can try to identify those in your own life and by your own experiences. It's interesting that all these spiritual giftednesses are also something that is enjoined of us and encouraged of us as Christians in general. We're all to be showing mercy and having faith and helping and giving and ruling and ministering. We're all to be winning souls and shepherding others and teaching them the Word and encouraging them and demonstrating wisdom and gaining the knowledge of God. And God has put people in the body of Christ who are especially gifted to encourage us all to our obligations as Christians. Now let me take a step beyond just coming to an understanding of what these gifts are and ask again the question, how can you understand what God's special empowering of you is to serve in the body of Christ? There is some surprising instruction about this in the New Testament, and very encouraging instruction. And some of that instruction comes right in the passages where spiritual gifts are listed. Two of those passages in particular, of the five where the gifts are listed, provides help in this way. I think it is plain from these two passages that we're going to notice together here in a moment, that pursuing love for God and for men is to be our chief goal as Christians, and that if we pursue that goal, that ambition, coming to an understanding of what our giftedness is and therefore our place in the body of Christ is, will be a natural effect if we understand what all those gifts are, as we've learned together. Now, the first of these two passages I'd like us to consider is Romans 12, 1 through 8. I would like to read those verses together as a unit. I think they fit together as a unit, and I think reading them together will help you see how the concept of spiritual giftedness is so closely connected to the idea of love and devotion to God. Beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. What I'm interested in you seeing is the connection that is made directly between the giftednesses given us by the Spirit of God to serve in the body of Christ and Christian consecration, love for God. You see, this teaching about God's empowerment of us for service that we call spiritual giftedness is really a doctrine for people who are devoted to the Lord, who've laid their life in the hands of God and said to the Lord, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I will go to that place. To whomever you want me to minister, Lord, I will minister with fervor." And that's precisely what verses 1 and 2 teach. These verses are not unfamiliar to Christians. They're favorite verses and often quoted. But surprisingly, they're not often quoted with reference to what follows in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Verses 1 and 2 are favorites. They're about giving our whole body to the Lord, committing our mind to being transformed. Why? That's the question. Why? Well, the end of verse 2 tells us that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the surprising thing about the term prove is that it can actually mean discover, realize. Think about that for just a moment. We give ourselves over to the Lord. We give our minds over to be renewed by God through His Word. And the process is we come to a discovery or understanding of the good and perfect will of God for our lives. And how will that be worked out? What will be involved in that? Serving to the fullest capacity in the body of Christ and the church. And that's what's discussed in verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 under the topic of our spiritual capacities for service, our spiritual giftedness. So what's the point that we should derive from this? Paul is simply saying, love God. Give yourself to God unreservedly and totally. That is the key that unlocks the door to the room of the will of God for you and the will of God for you, your spiritual destiny. It's to serve God and bear fruit in the right place of service in the body of Christ. Now, it's interesting that one of the other passages found in the New Testament that lists the spiritual gifts also emphasizes the concept of love as being our chief aim and goal as believers, and leading us on then to an understanding of what our place is for service in the body of Christ. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You may remember me referring to this passage frequently as listing the spiritual gifts. In fact, two times in 1 Corinthians 12, there are lists of spiritual gifts. One of those lists is found right at the end of the chapter. Notice these verses with me, beginning in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And going from verse 31, the verse I just read at the end of the passage, on into chapter 13, we are faced with what is called the love chapter of the New Testament. Let me read verse 31 of 12 again. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Or, desire fervently and zealously the best gifts, and moreover, I show unto you a more excellent way to do it. A more excellent way to earnestly desire, zealously desire the best gifts. Now that raises a question. What are the best spiritual gifts? Well, it's clear that there is a certain sense in which certain gifts of communication put a person in a position to minister to far more people than other gifts do. The gift of evangelist, the gift of pastor-teacher. They are better in the sense of more extensive. But in truth, the best gift for a person to possess and to earnestly desire is the very one he has, given to him by the Spirit of God, as 1 Corinthians 12:11 teaches, and to really desire to come to an understanding of what that capacity is. How does a person do that? Well, as verse 31 says, earnestly desire, covet, the best gifts. Moreover, I show unto you a more excellent way to do it. And then right into 1 Corinthians 13, which describes love. Concentrate on developing the multifaceted qualities of what is generally called in the New Testament love, agape. Do all the things that chapter 13 says. And then you come to chapter 14, verse 1, and it states, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. There is one of those extensive gifts that's an excellent gift for a person to possess. But notice the passage says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue agape. Pursue love. And this will be a way of you coming to an understanding of spiritual giftedness, what your capacity to serve in the body of Christ is. So what's the focus of attention? Do I sit around as a Christian with intense introspection trying to figure out what my spiritual giftedness is? No, I don't disregard the importance of understanding the meaning of all the giftednesses and how they will help in the body of Christ. But I pursue love. I pursue self-sacrificial service toward God and toward men. And along the way, I'll come to a grasp of where I fit in the body of Christ to serve. And coupled with that as a Christian, I must pray intensely that God will help me come to an understanding of my empowerment from Him and an understanding of where I fit in the body of Christ. This is what Colossians 1:9 says, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, Paul prayed. In Colossians 4:12, he said of Epaphras, the pastor of the Colossian believers, that he prayed for them that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, fully assured in all the will of God. And certainly Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It is not God's will for people to remain in darkness about what their capacity for service is in the body of Christ. So give yourself to God totally and unreservedly. Give yourself to developing the quality of love as manifested to other people. And throw yourself into the service of the Lord, and along the way, equipped with the knowledge we've been discussing, you'll be able to ascertain what your spiritual giftedness is.
We want to thank Mr. Steve Hankins, Professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, for today's helpful study on the Holy Spirit. You won't want to miss a single broadcast in this new series, so make a note of this time, Monday through Friday. The Bible Institute of the Air is a presentation of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.